What's going on? You are listening to Rock the Walls here on IW Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. On tonight's show, we'll be speaking with Sean Hermanes, vocalist of Make Them Suffer. They just dropped their brand new album, Worlds Apart, yesterday on Rise Records, kicking off their North American tour in support of the album release just a couple days back with Enterprise Earth and Spite. So we talk all about that, the brand new album, and a whole lot more. Very stoked for the interview. And then as well, we have one of the vocalists of Volumes on the show, Mike Terry, talking about their new album, Different Animals, being out on the Born of Osiris, the New Reign 10-year anniversary part 2 tour, what they have coming up, and a whole lot more. If you have not, you can subscribe to the Rock the Walls podcast over on iTunes. Simply search Rock the Walls, click subscribe, and never miss an episode. A lot of great stuff coming up in the next little bit. Going to be having a podcast with Dying Fetus vocalist and guitarist John Gallagher going up in just about a day or two, and then you'll be able to hear the interviews on this show on the podcast as well a little bit later on in the week. And then you can follow me over on the socials at Rock the Walls on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Right now, we are going to hop right into things with vocalist of Make Them Suffer, Sean Hermanes. We get to talking about their brand new album coming over here to North America. You know, there was a lot of trouble for them getting over here initially. Their first couple of tours that they were originally booked for, they couldn't get on. So it was pretty crazy stuff. Here it is on Rock the Walls. You are listening to Rock the Walls here on IW Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. Right now, we are joined by a band. They're going to be dropping their brand new album tomorrow, Worlds Apart, on Rise Records. Going to be doing a headlining run over here in North America, kicking off tomorrow as well with Enterprise Earth and Spite. We are here with the vocalist of Make Them Suffer, Sean Hermanes. Sean, how's it going, man? You guys are just about to drop this brand new album. Kickoff tour tomorrow over here in North America to kick off the album cycle, man. You guys have got to be nothing but stoked.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a really good feeling to, you know, be excited to tour off an album that we're all kind of so proud of as well. I mean, a lot of work went into this album. And if you're looking at the sort of history of our discography, I think, you know, while Old Souls was kind of like a step away from the norm and left room for a bit of experimentation, this new one was definitely more of a leap into the unknown. And the fact that people have taken to it so well is just, it's awesome and exciting for us for sure.
Definitely, man. And just for yourself, you know, as you know, the primary vocalist of the band, I mean, just as far as it went into kind of where you guys left off from Old Souls and going into Worlds Apart, and just kind of, as you said, you know, that leap kind of in the sound and the direction, just where did that really begin for yourself in the writing process and the rest of the band, just as far as everything instrumentally and lyrically tied together with what you guys were doing on Worlds Apart?
Well, I think we were sort of, I mean, Old Souls was a big period of experimentation for us. I mean, we had a number of different engineers mix several of the songs. I think we had a total of like four different mixes on that album, and so we were trying out a bunch of different sounds, a bunch of different styles, experimenting, and also trying to like find something that was original and different amongst that. And I don't know if we entirely achieved that with the previous album, but I definitely think we have with this one. And I think we can put that down to when we did the song Ether. We put out a single called Ether a while ago, and that was definitely, you know, for us it was sort of a different process in the sense that, you know, we were thinking about the riffs as in, you know, is this a good riff for Make Them Suffer? Is this under the branding of Make Them Suffer, which would be sort of our previous mindset? But with this new with Ether and with the new sound, I think we've just looked at each riff and section sort of individually and gone, well, like, let's not worry about if it's Make Them Suffer or not. Let's just think, is it a cool riff? And from there, we sort of managed to get on a bit of a roll and a bit of a direction, just purely through experimentation and confidence, I think.
For sure, man. And just as far as that went, kind of just making it all come to fruition the way that it did, I mean, I feel like the record, in a bit of a way, kind of breaks into two parts with Contact kind of being, you know what I mean, kind of like the interlude and whatnot into the latter half of the album. Just as far as that went for, yourself and kind of the track listing and whatnot, and just the way everything flows in the album. You know, you have songs like After Contact, like after the song Contact, you know, Power Overwhelming pretty much runs right into Midnight Run and whatnot, just as far as it all went, kind of putting the piece, the puzzles kind of together when you're figuring out the track listing and whatnot. Is this something where, as you're writing this album for yourself, you know, lyrically and whatnot, you have a pretty clear idea of where you're going to kind of be getting from point A to point B? Or is it something where, you know, when you're writing these songs, in a lot of the cases, it's all kind of, you know, separate instances that you then kind of tie together just throughout the album?
That's an interesting question, because I mean, originally the track listing was completely different. I mean, if you look at sort of all our albums, we would try and disperse the tracks in a way where, you know, you'd have like a blasty song, and then you'd have a moshy song, and then you'd have a melodic song, and you'd sort of like try and make the album flow that way so that it comes across as diverse off the bat. Whereas with this one, I think we had the confidence to go, to have the songs kind of, I mean, the first half of the album is super bright, and then it sort of takes a turn after that song Contact, as you said, and it's almost like the second half of the record is its own little journey in itself. It's a lot darker, and it sort of ends in this big kind of crescendo with the spoken word part at the end of Save Yourself, and then the piano that drowns out after that. I mean, yeah, as I said before, I mean, the way the lyrics sort of all tie together, and because there's a storyline and stuff beneath everything, that is something separate. That's a separate track listing in itself, and you could listen to the album that way. But with this, I think we wanted to have, you know, while the lyrics are telling one story, the music is telling a story as well, and we let the track listing work with the story that the music was telling, going from a sort of really bright, happy, light sort of beginning to a really dark, sinister finish.
Yeah, man. And I mean, just as far as the story goes, I mean, without, you know, giving too much away, so people gotta go and check out this full album, because it's absolutely awesome. What kind of is the underlying story of the entire album, you know, from a lyrical standpoint, and as well, kind of, as you said, you know, with that story, you know, the album could be listened to kind of like a completely different way. Is that something that maybe somewhere down the line that you guys will kind of come out and kind of explain the story, you know, whether it's like social media or something, and kind of with an alternative track listing to kind of tie more into the story and whatnot?
Well, if you listen to the album and you delve into some of the more kind of ambient interlude-y parts, you should be able to piece together an alternate track listing if you're really looking for it. I don't really want to say too much more than that, but there are clues in there. And then if you rearrange the tracks in that order, then you can maybe get a bit more of a... I mean, because I think the album starts off with the first movement, and the way the lyrics and vocal phrasing goes in that, it's kind of like, oh, well, there's definitely a story here to be found, but then it doesn't really make sense from that point on. And then it might sort of come together with Save Yourself. But if you rearrange the tracks in a different way, it's an entirely different experience altogether. And I kind of want people to sort of stumble across it themselves. But there's definitely, I mean, a lot of the, in terms of the imagery and all that sort of stuff that we're dealing with, it's very different from our first album, when, you know, that was all about, you know, fantasy type stuff and you know, forests and things of that nature. And then the second one's this sort of haunted house vibe. This one's completely different again. It's you know, thrown into the sort of modern day era, or if not the 90s. There's sound bites of like 56k modems and an Australian phone voice that tells you the number you've called could not be connected, and all that sort of stuff. So it's different once again. It's a different setting with a spacey, a more spacey kind of airy feel to the album. But yeah, I mean, it's its own thing, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And I was going to ask as well. I know there's that that kind of minute and a half ending of Power Overwhelming, where you know, over top of the music, you can hear somebody talking. It was a It took me a couple listens and whatnot, but for to kind of figure out what exactly he was saying. But for anybody else out there who's wondering what kind of is that, minute and a half part. And I mean, just taking some of those kind of little sound bites, like the 56K modem and something like that in power overwhelming and whatnot, kind of coming up with the ideas and kind of the extra sounds of the album to kind of just make it that much better. Where does that really start? Is this something where you kind of have these little ideas in mind and thinking maybe we can throw this here and there, or is it more so for you something like that where it would come like way after the fact that you guys would add it in type deal?
It was all very intentional, and these were ideas we've had for a very long time. And I think the ideas stemmed from, essentially what the whole album is about, which is, worlds apart. It's worlds apart from the rest, like other the rest of our discography, I guess, in one sense. But it's also, the whole album is basically a metaphor for, like, coming to terms with, how to live when you're on the road, that sense of isolation that you can feel, and when you're so far apart from everything, and then you're, trying to have a conversation with a member of family or a friend back at home, and you've got connection issues and all this sort of stuff, and everything goes wrong with your phone, with your internet, just finding Wi-Fi, and that whole sort of sense of disconnect, like particularly when you're touring Europe and there's this massive language barrier, and it can really just accentuate a sense of isolation when you're on the road and living that sort of lifestyle. And also coming to terms with, what is life at home then? If you're gone 7 months of the year, what do you do at home? What is your lifestyle then? Who are your friends? How are you doing that? So the whole album is about those experiences. And I think that the whole notion of connection, bad modems and shitty phone reception, being worlds apart, that's the essence of the album, essentially.
We are here talking with vocalist of Make Them Suffer, Sean Hermanis. You can go and check out their brand new album, Worlds Apart. It drops tomorrow on Rise Records. You can catch them all across North America with Enterprise Earth and Spite starting tomorrow in Montreal, where I'm sure the guys will be enjoying some awesome, authentic Quebec poutine. Now, Sean, just as far as it goes for you, and just talking a little bit more about that, for a number of years, obviously, down in Australia, you guys have been touring for a very long time. Over in Europe in the past couple of years, but just in the past year or two, just getting over here to North America. I know there was the one tour initially that you guys were supposed to be on. Unfortunately, visa issues, just shit fucking taking forever. Which absolutely sucks, but for you guys to finally get to come over here as many times as you did on that Old Souls album cycle, just what was that like for you guys to just be touring over here in North America and just I mean the tours that you guys did too with just absolutely amazing bands who draw a huge crowd. So to be playing some of your first shows in North America for the first time to 1,000, 2,000 cap rooms and just seeing what it's like over here. Well, what was that really like for yourself and the rest of the band, that whole experience?
Well, I mean, with how difficult it was, I think, getting initially over, I think we had a reasonably solidified fan base in America from the get-go, just purely from people finding us on the internet for some reason. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't generally work for a lot of bands. Generally, you play a show and then people learn about you. But for us, for whatever reason, people seem to really take to us on the internet. So a lot of people sort of knew about us before we came there. And then when these tours were getting cancelled, it was almost like, it was almost, I think, for us, a blessing in disguise, because it almost built the hype factor. What are they like live? I still haven't seen them. I've been listening to them for 5 years. And then so to finally get over there, the first shows were amazing. I mean, we did our first US tour with August Burns Red, who are absolute legends of metalcore, like pioneers, if you would, and have a huge fan base over there. And then Architects, who I honestly can't say enough good things about Architects, that band, everything they stand for, the ethos of the band, musically, branding, it's all there. And so, yeah, I think almost, it being so hard for us to initially get over there came as a bit of a blessing for us, because that our first tours over there were absolutely phenomenal opportunities, and I'm really excited for Having been over there, you know, I mean, we didn't really realize, but, you know, until we kind of got there, but I mean, having been over there, we realized that there is a huge sort of, I don't know, like almost cult following of our band over there, and people want us to come back, and it's an awesome feeling. I mean, I'm really excited for what America has to share with us in the future, and I'm really excited to get over there and to continue going back.
Definitely, man, 100%. And I mean, to be doing, you know, your first ever headliner over here too, with the new album coming out, you know, the timing really couldn't be that much better. And, you know, the bands that you guys are bringing out as well, Enterprise Earth and Spite, you know, two bands that are really different, but both very, very awesome bands. For you guys, when it came to, you know, planning a headliner around the release of the album and whatnot over here, and that just the bands that you chose to go out with you, what really went into that? For you guys, you know, two really great, you know, I guess for them kind of a little bit younger in their careers, but two great up and coming bands.
Well, I mean, firstly, both of the bands had an album released this year, and both the albums have been received extremely well. So, I mean, that's great. I mean, I've listened to quite a bit of both of them. I've listened to both their records, and they're both fantastic. But I mean, that aside, you know, we're very aware of the fact that, you know, this being, I mean, our American, North American set list is very, very different to, like, what the set list will be for, you know, the European run or the Australian run, for example. And it's because we haven't been over there as much. So the most we've ever had to, been able to play is like a half hour set list. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're taking this opportunity to, you know, as while plugging the new album and playing songs off that, we're also delving quite deep into our discography and playing some of the heavier tracks off that, some of the stuff from our first album Never Bloom, and a bunch of tracks in that sort of vein. And I think that having, you know, Spite, which are a super heavy band, and Enterprise Earth, which are the same, I think that serves that justice, and it is kind of, yeah, a subtle reminder to people that might be going to the shows, you know, if you do want to check out some of the older material live, you know, now's your chance, because we are going to be playing quite a number of tracks off our first album.
Hell yeah, man. Definitely can't wait to see those songs live over here for the first time. Now, was that something when you guys were planning to come over here just a couple months ago, when the tour was announced, that that was just a pretty band-wide conscious decision that it'd be good to kind of span the entire discography? And as far as a set list breaks up, is it going to kind of be something where, you know, you guys might open with a few new songs, go into you know, a lot of the older tracks, and then kind of end with the new stuff? Or is it kind of more spread out type deal?
Yeah, well, I don't want to sort of give away the vibe of the whole set, but I mean, yeah. I mean, we're going as far back as our EP in this particular tour, which dates, that's all the way back to 2010, so seven years ago. But I don't really want to give away sort of like how the set begins or ends, but it's definitely, I'd say it's a fair mix. I mean, I would give away that, you know, if you counted the amount of songs of what we're playing off each album, the songs off our first album has the largest sort of number. We're definitely playing the most off that album.
Nice, man. Definitely can't wait for that. Well, Sean, right now we are going to get to a song off the brand new album before we come back and talk a little bit more. So if you want to choose any song off Worlds Apart for the listeners to check out, man, go for it.
Ooh, should I pick one that hasn't been sort of like streamed on YouTube sort of thing?
It's completely up to you, man.
Okay, I'm going to go with Vortex, Interdimensional Spiral Hindering Inexplicable Euphoria.
Oh yeah, man. Sounds good. We'll be back talking more with Sean, the vocalist of Make Them Suffer. This is track number 4 off of their brand new album, which drops tonight at midnight on Rise Records. It's Make Them Suffer, Vortex on Rock the Walls. is Make Them Suffer on Rock the Walls. That is Vortex off of their brand new album, Worlds Apart, which drops tomorrow on Rise Records. Right now, we are joined by the vocalist of the band, Sean. Now, Sean, just talking a little bit more about the album and specifically the closing track, Save Yourself, man. That last minute or so, the spoken word part. I mean, just as far as, you know, not only writing, but recording that, man. Just such a... Something that really comes across as very hard, honestly, very super emotional and personal, man. And I mean, for yourself, just doing that, was that something that was very hard for you to not only write, but also, get in the booth and put out with so much emotion and meaning for it for you?
Yeah, it was extremely difficult. I mean, both a blessing and a curse once again, but, coming into this album, it always seems to time perfectly or imperfectly, I'm not sure. Coming into the writing process of the album, I just literally, had a relationship sort of end and, a lot of the basis for a lot of the lyrics and the storyline behind the songs are, you know, kind of I drew influence from that and my own personal experience. I've always written lyrics in, kind of metaphors and we do concept albums. That's kind of like one of our things. And, for that part to end the album, I just really wanted to give the most sort of brutally honest express myself in the most brutally honest way that I possibly could, and I've never done anything like that before. And to be completely frank, I don't really listen to a whole lot of bands that do that spoken word stuff. And I think that's almost a good thing because I just kind of I just started rambling. I mean, that song was written. I was in a very dark place at the time when I wrote that song. I mean, I sat down with after having drank, three bottles of wine, and then was getting into the tequila and wrote the verses for that. And then like a week later, I'd sat down with a bottle of wine and just like that whole spoken word thing was just a stream of consciousness. And then taking that into the studio, this sounds really lame. So feel free to laugh at me if you're listening. But in the booth while recording that track, I actually started welling up with tears. And I've never experienced that before. But listening back to it, I think there's no sort of better method of self-discovery than listening to something that you've created 100% honestly from the heart. And listening back to that and going, whoa, that's where I was at that moment. And it's, I mean, when I listen to that, I just think, yeah, thank God I'm not in that place anymore, firstly. And secondly, I'm proud of myself for being able to express myself and not worry what people think.
Yeah, man, for sure. That's definitely one of the most important things. And I think, having heard it, a lot of the people listening right now, they won't get to hear it for another 3 or 4 hours when the album drops at midnight. But it's something that just comes across as something that's so endearing and sincere and something that's just real and comes from the heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted it to be that way. I wanted it to be as honest as it could have been. So, yeah.
And just with that, man, I have to ask, when you mentioned that you drank 3 bottles of wine and then was getting into the tequila, how the fuck could you even write lyrics at that point? Or, write them down physically without it being super messy?
Well, actually, that was the struggle. It wasn't so much coming up with the content or what I was thinking of. It was literally the typing of the letters into my notes on... Yeah. On my computer, it was very hard. Like it was like the swaying and then squinting and then like there's a letter and then there's like 2 letters and then I'd have to like delete a line and that doesn't make sense and all that sort of stuff. But I was like, well, if I'm being honest with myself, I mean, this is the most I'm going to be honest with myself. And, when you're in that sort of state, you just don't really care. And I think that is going to be the truest representation of how, everyone experiences these sort of things. But, I mean, that being in a state like that is you can make you extremely honest. And I think it was through that I was able to really channel that honesty. And that's not something I do with all my lyrics. It's definitely not something I do with many of them at all. But I think that it was fitting for the heartbreak song on the album, I guess.
For sure. Now, could you see, down the line, whether it's the next album or a couple albums down the line, where you might take a bit more of a personal approach, to the lyrics and kind of, the stories and kind of what you're going through in your life, versus kind of going like a conceptual kind of route?
I think being conceptual is one of my favorite parts of the band. I mean, that's my creative outlet. I mean, I work very closely with Nick, our guitarist, and when we're putting the songs together, I definitely have like a large say, but it's not me playing the guitar. And mm-hmm. I think, to write lyrics and vocal phrasing and just vocals in general in metalcore, deathcore, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of finesse. And I would consider myself to be a relatively creative person, so that writing concept stuff is definitely something that allows me to achieve that that void that I need to fill, that the creative bug in me, and I really enjoy doing that. So I think we will always sort of keep that. I almost want every album that we do to be its own sort of story or something along those lines, its own piece of art. Anyway, every album should have its own vibe and feeling and story and all that sort of stuff, and that's kind of what we're all about at the moment. But at the same time, I mean, this album, with how personal I kind of got with the lyrics, I'm finding it more natural and easier with each release to kind of come out of my shell and be able to sort of put my heart on my sleeve that little bit more each time. And mm-hmm. I think that's the ultimate goal, is when something can work on that many levels, where it's, working as a metaphor or a concept or a story, and it's also working as like a form of self-expression. And the closer you can draw those two parallels together, I think the better.
Yeah, 100%, man. Now, are there any concepts or any kind of themes that you kind of had in mind that, whether it's something that you'd be looking to on the next album, or just something that you've kind of had kind of within your mind, kind of just doing writing over these past couple albums, that you think that you would like to explore, something like a certain kind of theme to it, if you will?
Yeah, I've got so many ideas that I just kind of jot down, and definitely want to explore the notion of a, samurai type demon Japanese themed album. Would be really cool, almost like an episode of Berserk or something like that. I think it would be really cool. And then also another one that we've been touching on, which I think would really work to Nick, our guitarist's creative flair, his guitar playing, would be an underwater themed album, like not necessarily like underwater, but more like the lost city of Atlantis, something along those lines. But I've got so many ideas, and I want to do so much all the time. And that's, I think, why we kind of are changing so much and always trying these new ideas, is because, I get bored of stuff very easily. And I think, we all kind of are really excited on the notion of, always trying something different, having each album have its own sort of flavor or theme. And,
For sure, man. Now, just as far as plans coming up for you guys with this North American tour, just about to kick off, you guys are going to be over here for a bit, 4 or 5 weeks, before going back down to Australia to do some dates with Wage War, which would be absolutely awesome. Just as far as any other plans that you guys have coming up with Europe and anything else, where can all the listeners worldwide catch you guys over this next little bit?
We're heading to Europe, I think, a couple of weeks after the Australian tour. I don't have the exact dates here, but that is with a very talented band called Novelists, who just recently put out an absolute banger, which I am frothing. I think they're a French-based band, if I'm not mistaken. They're from France. And then the other sport on that is Cursed Earth, who are actually from Perth, where we're from, West Australia.
Oh,
and they're like I would highly recommend anyone, everyone, to check out Cursed Earth. They're like beatdowny, grindy, death something or other, grindy death. Kind of in that sort of vein of Nails, and they've got this female vocalist, Jazz, who absolutely kills it in the live spectrum and on record. Like, her vocal phrasing is so on point, and the band is just, it's just, they're so heavy, and are super stoked to be able to, they just recently signed with Unified, a record label in Australia, and to be taking some homebred talent, like, from our home city on that tour is very exciting for us. So yeah, we'll be hitting Europe straight after our Australian tour.
Hell yeah, man. I actually, when they dropped that video for War March Broken 2 weeks ago, that was actually the first time that I had heard the band. And upon hearing that song, I've gone back and listened to, you know, the entirety of Enslaved by the Insignificant and any of the other stuff they have.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, man. This band is awesome.
This stuff is so fire. That song Suffocation, like, yeah, that's like one of those headbang challenge things where it's like, try not to headbang to this because it's basically impossible.
Definitely, for sure. Now, as well, just for yourself, what have you been listening to lately, whether it's kind of falls within the realm of heavy music or anything outside of it?
Oh, that's a tricky question. I mean, the first part of it was easy, but the what have I been listening to that's heavy part, I guess, is tricky. I mean, okay, so in Australia, I guess they're not really that heavy, but I think in 2016, for me, a band called Trophy Eyes put out an album called Chemical Miracle, and they're kind of more in a post-hardcore-y with a tinge of grunge and a bunch of other stuff vein. And for me, that album was my favorite in the spectrum of metal, hardcore, punk, and that extended sort of genre. That was probably my favorite album of 2016. This year, Ocean Grove have come out with an insane album, which I'm very excited about. I think Code Orange are super talented. I think Death Heaven are super talented. I think Wage War is super fucking talented too, so super stoked to be able to take those guys on our Australian tour. That they are just, yeah, when I heard that single Stitch that they put up for the album, I was like, dude, we need to take these guys. It's so hectic, and everything about it, like the production and just the hooks in it and everything, it just sounds so fat. So yeah, we were stoked to be able to take those guys. But yeah, there's a bunch of good music coming out, and I almost feel, and Cursed Earth is one of them as well. Like, I would consider myself to be a large fan of Cursed Earth, but I think there's almost like a new wave of derivatives of this metal hardcore genre, extended quotation marks, whatever you want to call it. It's like post something or other, I don't know, post that era, and all these guys are coming up with, you know, whether it's a throwbacky sort of band or something that's trying something completely different. But I think finally people have worked out, you know, what the cliches are of the genre and are starting to take steps to overcome that. And I think that's really exciting. I think that this genre is about to see, you know, a rebirth in a lot of ways, and it's really exciting for what sort of music is going to come out of the sort of modern metal spectrum in the years to come.
Yeah, man, I would definitely have to agree with that. There's so many, just so many great bands out there, you know, and even more so specifically, you know, just Australia right now, man. I mean, there is just so many amazing, you know, heavy bands coming out of Australia right now, whether, you know, they've made it over here to North America and are now just touring here for the first time, or they're looking to make that move and that step. I think there's a lot of bands in Australia that if they had the opportunity to come over here, man, the people over here in North America would absolutely love them.
Uh, definitely. And I think, you know, it's so tricky. I mean, not to sort of, you know, point the finger at the North American government or anything like yeah. that, but it is super tricky and expensive getting, you know, flights and visas and, yeah. and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, if we're working off like our experience, it has been more than well and truly worth it. I mean, not just for, you know, the fact that there's, you know, there seem to be people in North America that seem to really, you know, vibe the content and stuff like that. But it also comes down to, North America is my favorite place to tour. And I'm not just saying that either. And it's because, you know, it's something for me that's so different, but at the same time, so the same. Australia is obviously home, and then, you know, Europe, there's a language barrier. Southeast Asia is fantastic. I mean, people get so into it, and then there's a language barrier, and then as well, and, you know, different customs and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, when we go to America, it's like the food is fantastic. Everyone's really into it. Everyone seems to be really like in the know about the intricacies of the band and stuff like that. Like a lot of the people we've met that come out to the shows in North America are really like quite sort of diehard fans, and it's been super cool. So, you know, I hope that it gets easier. I hope that more Australian bands have the opportunity to get out to you guys, because I mean that it's been a blessing for us, and there's so much talent in Australia. I you know, not trying to be sort of proud or cocky or anything like that, but I feel to a certain extent that we are sort of like leading a charge, some kind of charge for a new musical movement almost within this genre. And I just want it to be heard by the world. And yeah
man, I would definitely have to agree with that. I don't personally think it comes off you know, as cocky or anything like that. I mean, you just look at the bands, you know, like bands like Thy Art Is Murder, you know, Genre Leaders, Northlane. I mean, how many bands out there are either heavily influenced by Northlane, or, you know what I mean, pretty much just try to rip off their riffs and whatnot? And just so bands like the Amity Affliction, who are, you know, just gigantic over here now, to so many other bands, you know, that might fall into other genres from Australia that have come over here. It's just amazing for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting, man.
Definitely, man. And especially too, when you know, you can take bands with you, you know, from your hometown, like Cursed Earth, and your peers, and see, you know, your friends and whatnot that you're all, you know, touring around, doing successful things, and that you could see each other, you know, all the way across the world, and it would just be like seeing each other at home. You know what I mean?
I mean, that to me is one of the coolest things, because I mean, we you know, out where we are, for those who don't know Australian geography that well, you know, we're on the west coast of Australia, and for those who also, you know, don't know that geography very well, we're the only city on the west coast. So Australia is just one giant desert, and so for us to get over, like, even when we were sort of coming up initially and like touring Australia, you know, just to tour Australia, you know, we would have to fork out money for flights and all that sort of stuff. That's just like money that an up-and-coming band doesn't have. And
yeah,
you know, we surpassed that sort of hurdle, I suppose, and Cursed Earth are a band who have surpassed that hurdle. And it's, you know, it gives me sort of great pride to say that, you know, like when we played a show recently in Perth, in our hometown, with Cursed Earth as main support, I believe, and seeing them kill it is awesome. But I mean, it's also like, you know, when we were playing that show, people were posting images of, you know, a Make Them Suffer show at our local venue, HQ, which is this tiny little skate park that fits about 300 people, and with the singer Jazz of Cursed Earth, like, in the front row, like singing along to our lyrics. And then, like, to know that, you know from back in the day, that maybe like we might have been a factor that may have influenced her, or like, you know, encouraged her to sort of play music or scream in a band or something like that. Like, that's awesome to know that, you know, she was a fan at one stage, and now she's, you know, taking it upon herself to join a band and learn how to scream and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's just, I mean, you can't put a price on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, 150%. And Sean, just as far as where listeners can go and pick up the brand new album, Worlds Apart, whether they wanted to pick up physically, blah, I'm going to fucking do that again. Thank goodness for the pre-records. Sean, just as far as where you would like the listeners to go and pick up Worlds Apart, whether they wanted to pick up a copy digitally or physically, where would you like them to go for that? You know, not only over here in North America, but down in Australia or over in Europe or anywhere in the world.
Well, actually, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can purchase the album from iTunes. There's our store. If you if you want to order like a vinyl or like a hard copy CD, you can go to our merch stores. If you are in America, we are on merch now. If you are in Europe, we're on Empiricon, and in Australia, we're on 2400. Our album is for sale there. Otherwise, you can get it from stores. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. Get it wherever your heart pleases. But please purchase the album. I mean, that would be great. And you know, it does have a direct sort of correlation to, you know, how much we are going to come and play for you guys. If you guys are not living in Australia, and you do not, every vote counts. You know, if you're not living in Australia and you do not purchase our album, then that is one album not purchased that says to people, folks in the industry that go, hey, they didn't do so many album sales, so maybe we won't bring them back. So if you want us to come back, buy our album, come to a show, buy a shirt. You know, these are the things that help, and then we can play for you guys more often.
Oh yeah, man, 100%. Well, Sean, thanks a lot for joining me on Rock the Walls tonight, man. I really appreciate it for your time, and very stoked for everyone to check out this brand new album. One of the things I like to do with the bands that I interview is I get them to choose a song from their catalog that they would like the listeners to hear, and then a song that you would like to hear by any band, any artist, any genre. So if you want to pick a Make Them Suffer song and a song by any other band, go for it.
Cool. Okay, from our catalog, I'll pick a song off the new album, I suppose, because that is the one that we are releasing. So I'm going to go with let's just give people a smack in the face with a good old Dead Planes. And then as for a song that I would like to choose, can I choose one that's like not entirely metal?
Yeah, man, for sure.
Okay, let's go My Bloody Valentine. And let's go When You Sleep by My Bloody Valentine. That is probably, even though I couldn't remember the title, it's still one of those albums you just put on. So, yeah, but that's probably my most listened to song of all time. So, yeah.
Sean, thanks a lot, man, and can't wait to see you guys over here in North America in just a little bit, man.
No worries, man. Thank you for that, Patrick.
Go and check out their brand new album, Worlds Apart. It drops tomorrow on Rise Records. This is track number 9 off the album. It's Make Them Suffer, Dead Planes on Rock the Walls.
Let's be loud.
Make Them Suffer, Dead Planes on Rock the Walls. That is off of their brand new album, Worlds Apart, which you can pick up right now. It's out on Rise Records here in North America and down in Australia on Unified. They're going to be all across North America over this next little bit. They just kicked off their tour for the Worlds Apart album cycle over here in North America just a couple days ago with Enterprise, Earth, and Spite. They're playing here in Toronto tonight. I have some American dates and a slew of Western Canadian dates as well, so definitely go and check them out. An amazing live band, and as he mentioned, because they haven't had the opportunity to play some of the older material here in North America, you're going to get some deep cuts on this tour. So looking forward to that, looking forward to hearing the new stuff, and as well, Enterprise Earth, one of the best up-and-coming, you know, technical, like, deathcore kind of bands, and Spite is just an incredible, heavy metalcore slash hardcore kind of band that you need to check out. That debut album that they dropped yesterday is absolutely freaking unreal. Expect big things for them. Catch them out on this tour. Your mind will absolutely be blown. You'll be wondering why you hadn't been listening to this band for way longer. They will be one of your new favorite hardcore bands, that is for sure. We are going to take a quick little break, and back on the other side, we'll be joined by one of the vocalists of Volumes, Mike Terry. So keep it locked here on Rock the Walls on IW Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. You are listening to Rock the Walls here on IW Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. Right now, we're joined by a band. They just dropped their third studio album, Different Animals, back in June on Fearless Records. Currently out on the New Rain Part 2 tour with the guys in Born of Osiris, Widowmaker, and Betraying the Martyrs. We're here with one of the vocalists of Volumes, Mike Terry. Mike, how's everything going, man? You guys just dropped the album last month. Heading out on a tour with your buddies in Born of Osiris for the album release tour for you guys. I guess it really can't get much better, man.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome. This tour's been great. We've been out for about 4.5 weeks now. We've got like 3 or 4 more shows left. We just got into Canada this morning and played Toronto at the Opera House. And we've been playing. Feels good. Waves Control and Finite. Not to give away a lot of it, because we try and keep our set list pretty secret.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that between now and the end of the year, we're going to be playing a whole bunch of we'll play a lot of the songs off the album. So, it'll be good.
Man. Yeah. Now, kind of bringing things back to, you know, when you initially joined the band and whatnot, and just the writing and the recording of Different Animals, just for you, at what point, you know, in the writing process, did you kind of come along? Was it something where the guys had a pretty good chunk of the album instrumentally written,
yeah,
and then you came in and were writing it with Gus as far as from a vocal and a lyrical standpoint?
Yeah, they had the music done, and they were just starting to get into the vocal process. They had some of the words written. Some of the songs already had concepts, and we were able to, like, once I came in, you know, we worked it out, worked together, and, you know, we were able to do my lyrics and all whatnot. It was pretty cool.
Now, for you, in a kind of a situation like that, stepping in kind of in a midway kind of point of it, what was that like for you, not only as a vocalist, but also as a songwriter and whatnot?
I mean, at first it was kind of like a daunting task. Like, oh, I didn't really know if they were going to, like, you know, how it was going to go over, whether they would, like, let me be myself, whether I would have to, like, you know, do, like, fit a mold or, mm-hmm, you know, fit the previous singer's, his style. But it wasn't that at all. They were just like, let's see what you got, let's work it, and then just coin it to how our new sound is. And, you know, that's pretty much what you hear on Different Animals.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah. Now, just when you were in the booth recording vocals and whatnot, what was the first track that you ended up recording for the album? And then as well for you, just now that you've had a little bit with this album and whatnot, if there's a particular song for you that's really personal and really sticks out to you now that you guys have had the album done, you know, over the course of the last couple months, and it's been released for a month now.
Yeah, the first song I recorded with the band, it was actually like my tryout song too, was Finite, which is one of the songs we did the latest singles that we had just dropped. They had the chorus written already, and they were just like, what do you think about this? How do you think it would sound? And then, like, go in there and do it and see if, like, how it would turn out. And that's how it came out. And honestly, like, I think we used the take from that, because we recorded for, like, I was in the band. We tracked the records for a couple months. I think, mm-hmm, that very first take as the one that we actually used on the record. Okay. So, yeah, it was pretty cool, pretty neat.
That's awesome. And I know another song for me that really stuck out from a vocal standpoint with your performance was a song like Hope, which comes off as a very, very personal song. Just what exactly does that song mean to you, and what exactly is it about?
Hope was, it's kind of just... a way to like write about like about letting go of certain things. I went through pretty suffered a pretty important loss in my life personally. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like being able to like, you know, come to terms with that and you know, just address it and get it off my chest, kind of, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And just with your past experience, you know, doing solo stuff, playing in Bury Your Dead and whatnot, just as far as, you know, for yourself and when it came to joining Volumes and whatnot, was there maybe a time before that the opportunity presented itself and you had auditioned for the band that maybe you thought that, you know, your days as kind of like a full-time touring musician were kind of over, and kind of just your entire thought process and what was kind of going through your mind as you're, you know, tracking vocals and, you know, trying out for this, you know, for the first time before it became final.
I didn't really know exactly how it was going to get this serious. I knew that. I know there was a time where I didn't think that I would ever play heavy music again. So when the opportunity finally presented itself with Volumes, I was like, you know, it took me a minute to really be like, hey, man, I had to do some soul searching because it's like, I wanted to do it. I missed it, but I didn't want to do it because I had like a salty taste in my mouth about the industry.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but it was just like, I was just going through things personally. I was just like, well, you can't really run from what you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a vocalist and I play metal music and I love metal and I love music. And you know, I was working other jobs and doing other menial tasks before Volumes, and it was cool. It was fun, but I didn't feel fulfilled like I do playing shows and, you know, being an acting participant in a band. I mean, that's something. It's a feeling that you don't get. It's unmatched by anything. So, you know, once the opportunity presented itself again, I just really had to think like, yo, man, this is something that you are good at. Do it. And stop being afraid. What do you have to be afraid of? And I think once I got past the fear of, you know, what people would say or whatever I was really going through, everything was cool. And it really was, man. It was real chill.
That's awesome to hear, man. Yeah. Now, what was kind of going through your mind as you're just days away from coming up on the announcement and whatnot, but as well, you know, at that point when you guys released Feels Good, I believe it was the day before Warped Tour kicked off, and then you guys were on the first half of it or whatnot. Just to see, you know, such a positive reaction initially, that had to have been really
tight. Yeah, it was really cool. I was kind of nervous about it, obviously, because, you know, it's a new band and I'm fronting a new band and all the other, just those stupid things that you would think about, that the anxiety gets to you. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. Everyone was so chill. Everyone just showed us nothing but love. And Feels Good went over so well. I think that, you know, it was like, all right, maybe it's going to be okay, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we might actually have something here. And then we went on Warped Tour, and Warped Tour was amazing, and the tours have just been getting better and better, and the response has been awesome, and I feel like we are able to connect with our fans, and I think they meet us halfway. Like, we really bring it to them and they bring it to us. It's really, I think it's a beautiful thing, for sure,
man. I mean, I think, you know, pretty much right away when the guys dropped Via back in 2011. I mean, the kind of cult following, dedicated fan base following has built up over the last 5-6 years has just been unbelievable.
Yeah,
for sure.
Man, it really has, man. It's so incredible to see, and now even like fans that now that I'm in the band saying, oh, we've been following Volumes since, you know, Concept of Dreaming and Bury Your Dead since those days, and that was what, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really, really cool. It's to see that, you know, heavy music has longevity, you know, and like, you know, we're here and we're here to stay, and, you know, we're very happy to be still loved and still have the love and the respect from our fans. It's fucking, it's awesome. It's so cool. It's really cool. Yeah.
Definitely. Now, this time around, I know that that Diego does a lot of the production and whatnot. Was that kind of the same approach you guys took this time around, or were you guys once again? I know on No Sleep they worked with Brandon Paddock a little bit, just as far as the tones and that kind of stuff.
Same kind of thing, man. It was the same stuff. Brandon Paddock is a genius. He was definitely involved in the record. Wrote a bunch. It's just him and Diego. It's like if Brandon Paddock is like the second guitar player almost. You know what I mean? Like, but he just doesn't. He's not in the band. You know. Yeah. Him and Diego bounce ideas off of each other like crazy, and you know, what you hear is like the best combination of what we thought, you know, was twerking. So,
Was there a point in time, kind of when you guys were recording the record and whatnot, kind of just those two working together, whether it was you know, on an instrumental part or maybe just you know, going through a vocal take and whatnot, that they kind of one of them said, you know, hey, maybe we should try this in a different spot here or there, and
they are. Taskmasters behind the in the production. There were a lot of times where, and not even that they were just getting at me, but it was just that they heard something that they thought that I was able to produce, and so they just pushed and pushed and pushed and prodded and poked and pushed and pulled and until they got it out. And you know, they are very strict, they're very tough, but I think I can honestly say I'm a better singer by working with those two, for sure. It was definitely a life-changing experience. And I didn't even go into it thinking, oh, I got this. I was just kind of just like, well, whatever works, works.
Yeah.
I'm down to do the best. I'm pretty much moldable clay. And, you know, if you hear something that you think is cool that I'm doing, then let's vibe on that. Like, because I want to do the best job that we can anyway. Yeah. And so they took it and they ran with it. I think I volunteered myself a little too much because they were really like, you know, at times. But there was no malice, and it was never like I got upset with them or got upset at myself. It was just like, just gotta try harder.
Yeah.
Let's do it again, 1,000 times. 1,000 different times until you get it perfect.
Now, for you, what time in the recording process would you say that you kind of felt like fully, fully comfortable in terms of just like tracking, but not only that, but also, you know, getting the ideas and kind of some of the vocal melodies and whatnot?
When it was being mixed at the end. I mean, honestly, it was just like, man, it was rough. I don't know. I always second guess. There's always, every time, I feel like if you're an artist, every time you make a record, you're always going to go back and be like, oh, I could have done this differently. Oh, I could have said this. Or, you know, I could have worked. Like, there's things I listen to on the record. I say, oh, if I had just held my breath just a little longer, like stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you're on your own worst critic, you know, a lot of times. So I just try to just ride with it, man.
Now, would you say to a certain extent that sometimes bands are maybe held to a bit of an unreasonable standard in terms of just maybe fans' expectations in terms of, you know, thinking or wanting a follow-up release to a next record, not necessarily talking about volumes, but wanting it to sound like old stuff? I mean, I know, obviously, with what happened today, you know, a lot of people were very, very hard on Linkin Park and kind of their new direction and sound that they took, you know what I mean?
I think that, man, I think our generation of listeners are spoiled because there's such an oversaturation of material. And so everyone who is, you can just go to Guitar Center and buy some stuff. And, you know, you can just buy, hold on 1 second. You can go to Guitar Center and buy a fucking laptop and whatever recording Ableton. And now all of a sudden you're a producer. Or now you can make the world's best band and you're only one dude. You know what I mean? And to me, that's like, I think that's trash. So everyone who's now they're desensitized to how hard it is to make an album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It actually takes work. It takes actually going through things to have material to write about, to record. You know, it's not just like, oh, let me just crap out a bunch of music. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, I think a lot of listeners, they don't, since they haven't put the time in, they haven't put the time on the road, they haven't done any of that stuff, but they can sit on a computer and now they all of a sudden have a voice and an opinion. So it's like, I don't know, I think I feel like until you've walked it, you can't really talk it. It's trash because they're still going to come to they still come to the shows.
Yeah.
A lot of the fans that say, they have something negative to say, still come to the shows. Just to, and then they get wowed and amazed, like, oh shit, it was actually a really good show.
Yeah.
we haven't changed. We're still the same. And just like most bands. Most bands are still the same. They're still going to rock. They're still going to bring it to you. They're still going to play their jams. They're still going to play the songs that you fell in love with. You know, we're going through things just like you are. Just like, you know, just like anyone else. If the roles were switched and we were scrutinizing how someone changes their oil, you know, or how, you know, whatever, then the tables would return to be a completely different story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. I just interviewed Matty Mullins from Memphis Mayfire last week, and he says, you know, our music isn't like a fast food restaurant. It's not made to order, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a la carte. We're like, we're actually putting, our record cycle is 18 months, you know?
Yeah.
So that's 18 months of seeing different things, different experiences, fights, this, losses, this, that, this, the, all the third. All of that is getting put into an album, you know, every single time. So it's like, it's our own personal report card kind of thing. So it's like, you know, it's kind of, a lot of people should, you know, maybe listen instead of just having something to say before they even take the opportunity to check it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Now, for you, just as far as the music you've been listening to lately, whether kind of the heavy end of music or anything else, man, what have you been jamming lately at on tour this last month?
Let's see, man. I've been listening to a lot of, on the not heavy side, there's a DJ producer named Bonobo, and I've really, he's like one of my favorites right now, like one of my favorite artists out. Really been listening to a lot of that, a lot of him. On the heavier side, Architects. Someone put me on Architects pretty recently, and that shit is crazy, man. I love that. That record is really the latest one. It was so good. Let's see. The new Veil of Maya that you guys haven't heard yet is really sick. I've got a couple of tracks of that, and I think that it's going to be really awesome. I can't wait for you guys to hear that.
Sick, man.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah. I know for me, Matriarch was definitely my album of the year 2 years ago, so really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's such a good album, yeah. Mark Akuba is such a talented musician, and Lucas to his voice.
Yeah.
Man, wait till you hear what he does on this album. It's crazy. It's crazy. So crazy.
Awesome, man. Definitely can't wait to hear that. I know with Lucas, there was another situation too. You know, he was working up until about you know, a couple of weeks before he joined the band. He's working full time in a concrete factory and whatnot. You know, just for yourself, just prior to joining Volumes and whatnot, what were you kind of doing as a full time job to make ends meet? Obviously,
I was doing all kinds of stuff. I was living in LA, doing like fit modeling and hosting parties, and I was working as a solo artist as well. So I was doing that, just being a musician, writing for other people, and just being a dude, man, just figuring it out until, I don't know, this kind of just really just happened. I didn't have a plan. When I moved to LA, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that I couldn't keep living the mundane, and, you know, I just felt like I wasn't living up to my potential, so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, was that something for you that took a little while to kind of convince yourself, or was it kind of like a certain point in time?
For sure. It definitely took a while for me to get back on my feet and believe in myself enough to take on music again. But it was just kind of like a long time coming, something that needed to happen kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, man. And just for yourself, just, you know, over the last year, I guess, quote-unquote year officially, since the fans have known, you know, being in Volumes, but as well, you know, the length of time that you've been with the band, what's kind of been your biggest learning lesson just hopping back into things as a full-time touring musician and, you know, writing and recording and whatnot?
Oh, man. Just try not to, just to enjoy it. Like, a lot of, getting down about stuff. And, like, stuff that I normally would be sad about, just not even tripping over it anymore. Because it's like, yo, there was a time when you weren't touring. There was a time when you were wishing that you were doing it. And, you know, now that it's happening all of a sudden. It is taking off a lot faster than I had anticipated. But that's still cool. That's a cool thing, you know.
Yeah.
And just not being afraid, really. I would just not be as afraid anymore. I think that that's like a huge thing. Not afraid to do cool stuff. Like, not afraid to be good. You know, anybody can suck. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, it's true, man. I mean, I've been doing this radio thing, interviewing bands for 8 or 9 years, but I can remember the first ever show that I did on my college radio station. I'm pretty sure I slipped up and said fuck a couple times on air, and obviously it's college radio, so you're not supposed to do that, but you know what I mean? It's just wanting to work hard and, you know, having that perseverance to succeed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, just being able to just, like, wanting to do it is the cool thing. And then, like, if you have the avenue to get it done, to not go at it 1,000,000% and crush it, it's a travesty. And to complain, what are you complaining about? Look at how sick this is. Like, I'm talking to you in a foreign country about something, you know. It's so wild. So it's a beautiful thing. I love it. It's really cool. So whenever I start to get down about the things that I don't have or the things that I miss or the people that I miss, I think about the cool things that I am doing and how awesome of an experience and a ride this is. It's just so cool. Thank you, guys.
See you later, man.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Yeah, so it's thank you. Thank you so much. So, yeah, it's been, yeah, see? Like, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So, yeah, I don't really have anything to complain about.
And just as far as plans coming up for you guys, I know you're already being announced for that Issues Headspace headlining tour in the fall. Just as far as any other plans abroad and whatnot, what do you guys have coming up for the rest of the year?
I can't talk about it, but it's going to be huge. Yeah, we're going to do the Issues run, and then I can't talk about what's coming up next, but it's going to be really, really awesome. So we'll be on tour all year, and then pretty much all next year as well. So, you know, it's V season, V team season. We're out here.
Hell yeah, man. Well, Mike, thanks a lot for joining me on Rock the Walls tonight, man. I really appreciate it for your time.
Thank you so much for meeting me, man, and thanks for coming to the show. And all that is.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you for having me.
And one of the things I do with bands that I interview is I get them to choose a song from their catalog that they want the listeners to hear, and then a song that you'd like to hear by any band, any artist, any genre. So if you want to pick a volume song and a song by any other band, go for it.
I'll do a volume song, and it'll be Waves Control off of our new album, Different Animals.
Hell yeah, man. And a song by any other band?
Let's see. It's Not Safe to Swim by Vela Maya.
Great. Mike, thanks a lot. We'll see you hopefully a little bit later on this year up here.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you. It's much appreciated.
No problem, man. Go and check out their brand new album, Different Animals. Sit right now on Fearless Records. You can catch them out early in the fall with Issues, and they're going to be doing some really sick shit later on in the year off of their brand new album. It's Volumes, Waves Control on Rock the Walls.
Fuck you, why don't you just let me off the dose? I did it again. I woke up again. Running from all these withdrawals, keep losing my friends. All of these drugs will come to my hands.
Fuck it, I'm dead
inside. And now you know why.
Now that I'm gone, I'm on the run. I'm in my room, I look down at my gun. Picking it up, I don't wanna give up. But I'm stuck in this one that I'm dug and I'm fun. The drugs in hell, I blame myself for the shit I've been down. It's my life, I'm losing my grip. Tell you I'm good, but I'm losing my shit. You didn't want to take him to the hospital. All he really wanted was his capital. Another one lost and we cannot pretend. Just in the blank and we cannot pretend. Another mistake to us cost your life. We're sticking that needle and watch what's alive.
I wanna feel the waves control. Tied in, it's
Control on Rock the Walls. That is the opening track to their brand new album, Different Animals, which they just dropped back in June on Fearless Records. Just wrapped up that tour with Born of Osiris last weekend. There's only about 3 dates left when I did that interview with Mike Terry in Toronto. But something I've not seen mentioned on social media that happened during the show in Toronto, and actually as a result, Born of Osiris had to cut their set, their encore. Their keyboardist, Joe, he was doing one of his patented backflips that he does a couple times during their set, except this time on the landing, kind of messed it up a little bit and ended up slipping and hitting his face off of one of the stepping risers that the guitarist and the vocalist stand on throughout the show. There was blood everywhere, all over the stage, but looked like, at least when I saw him after the show, that he was good to go. He had been patched up and stitched up. But Joe, if you were listening, hopefully you're at home resting up, man, and hopefully that heals up real, real quick. Very special thank you goes out to vocalist of Make Them Suffer, Sean Hermanes, and Mike Terry of Volumes for joining me on the show. Just before we go, though, I really wanted to mention a couple albums that you definitely need to check out that dropped yesterday. Rings of Saturn, Ultu Ula, definitely check out that album. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing the album name correctly, but it will absolutely melt your face off. Ocean's 8 Alaska, Hikari, Spite dropped their debut album, which is absolutely killer as well, and a couple of other awesome bands. Loviatar, an awesome doom band from Ottawa, and obviously Make Them Suffer, who we had on the show earlier, dropping Worlds Apart. So lots of great music out there for you to consume, and more coming up next week. We got Wage War dropping Deadweight, among some other great stuff coming out in July, so it's a great, great time to be a heavy music fan. I've been your host, Patrick Walford. If you have not, you can subscribe to the Rock the Walls podcast over on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search Rock the Walls, click subscribe, and never miss an episode. An episode going up with John Gallagher of Dying Fetus here in the next 24 to 48 hours, and a lot of other cool stuff throughout the next couple of weeks. You can follow me over on social media, at Rock the Walls, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And until next time, which is Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, over on IDOB Howl, and then again here Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on IDOB Radio, I will see you all next week, where I will be joined by Maddie Mullins of Memphis Mayfire, Chris Roeder of Like Moths to Flames. You have yourselves a great week, a great evening, a great afternoon, or a great morning, wherever you are listening across the globe. And always remember to listen loud.